Why so serious?
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the Toy Department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, the Toy Department is in session. I'm Derek Madden. He's Matt Kolsky. Do I sound okay today, Kolsky? I'm in a bit of a weird spot as we record this.
Honestly, you sounded okay pretty much the whole day.
Until I started talking on the show.
Exactly. But now you sound decent again now, so let's just go with it.
Okay, that's what we're going to do today. We're just going to go with it. And by go with it, I mean we're going to talk about the challenge. And, of course, some of the big stuff in pop culture this week. Should we just get to Chappelle right off the bat?
Sure. Can I just say, can I just tease ahead? The challenge is a doozy, yeah. Man. It's a doozy this week. Right?
It is. And we expected that, right? Like, you know,
totally.
Kind of like we're like, this is the playoffs essentially are starting here in the challenge, right?
At least the play-in. At least the play-in tournament. This was a great episode. But yeah, let's just start with Chappelle.
Okay. We'll start with Chappelle. The new Chappelle Show special was called The Closer. It's supposed to, I guess, serve as a period on the run of specials that he did for Netflix. He kind of comes right at the top and says it's going to be his last one for a while. You probably, at this point, I would say, heard some of the discourse around this, some of the controversy. I sort of, coming into it, I kind of wondered if it was like, okay, is this like, well, we're focusing on a couple of jokes out of the hour-long special, which has kind of been how some of the more controversial things in this run have been, where it's been like, you know, the 4 or 5 minute bit that sort of caught everyone's attention and kind of dominated the discourse. That's not the case with The Closer, right? Like this, it's mostly about the stuff that people are kind of mad about, and I think almost intentionally so. Would you agree?
Yep, I would. And
where'd you land on it?
Well, okay. First of all, I want to say that's why I wanted to watch it, because you expressed that opinion to me ahead of time that perhaps you were worried that this was a much ado about nothing, essentially, right? And I don't disagree that nothing is the wrong word, but much ado about.
I had twin fears, actually.
Okay.
Sorry. That it was either that it was that, like you said, or that it was what it turned out to be, that it was going to be all about it. You know what I mean?
So. Right. And so here's the thing about this. Like, ironically, The Closer, which clearly is meant to refer to the whole thing being the end of a period or what have you, right? The closer of The Closer is at least interesting. But I think it is positioned as if to say, calm down about everything. It's all just jokes because I had a trans friend. And I think if he had really wanted to close this in a productive or positive way, he could have started this special with that joke and then gone on to a totally different subject. Instead, so much of it was just like, okay, just I look at it as he makes a joke about, you know, he's just sort of talking and he's like, well, basically a lot of people call me the goat, right? And that is certainly true. And I think there are reasons why that is a valid and supportable opinion. But for the goat, so much of this special is basically just cheap, not often that funny, jokes about the trans community. Right? And I'm not, like, if you took the one or two best little quips about trans people over the course of the special and mix them in, then it would be, you know, one of your twin fears that it was Much Ado About Nothing. But because it was, it felt relentless and wasteful to me. And so I really, more than anything, I was just disappointed that this was the way he felt was best to end the dispute in his mind.
Yeah, I want to separate two things. First off, if we're just talking about this as a stand-up comedy special, it's not that funny, and I don't think it's trying to be that funny. You know what I mean? In terms of the number of jokes that he's getting off and the way he's getting it off. And look, we've seen that from Chappelle before. We've seen, like, kind of try to be more serious. I would argue that the stuff he was doing post the pandemic is kind of, you know, in a much less controversial way in that vein, where he's really more just talking than trying to do a lot of stand up. So it doesn't totally work as like, hey, I want to watch Chappelle be hilarious. And then if you get into the substance, which I think, yeah, I mean, look, there's definitely a, hey, I have a trans friend, which is just for a guy who is so incredibly insightful about race relations.
Right.
You know what I mean? To like how quickly, like to just go with the, I have a black friend version of this argument. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's disappointing from just a making a point standpoint. And yeah, he's trying to make that point. He's trying to make the point, I think, also that, like, yeah, people are mad about this, but, like, there's worse discrimination going on in the world, and why aren't we talking about this other thing instead? Which, to me, is just kind of, like, high-grade whataboutism. You know
but,
what I mean?
Thing is, like, most of the stuff he talks about is stuff we are talking about, right? Like,
yeah, look, I guess you have a point that, like, we probably don't talk enough about the fact that DaBaby killed a guy.
Sure.
You know, like, okay, but, like, I don't think that's a trump card in this argument. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, and it just, like, and it I has don't... literally nothing to do with the fact that he said pretty horrifying things about the gay community on stage at a concert.
Yeah. And it's like, if you think, and if you think that is true, like, if you think that, like, hey, that's bad that we don't care about the baby killing a guy, why are you still trying to negotiate his release? You know what I mean? Not that he's literally doing that, but that's a joke that he's making in the show.
Right.
I just think he's mostly wrong. But I kind of think that's all it is. I don't know that, like, I didn't come away with this going, like, Dave Chappelle's a bad guy.
No.
Cancel Dave Chappelle. I just think that, you know, why can't we make jokes? Cancel culture's out of control is just a lame, tired point. It's a lame, tired point that Bill Maher has been hackily beating into the ground every week for 2 years.
Right. And he's gonna, he also just, like, if a white comedian was saying these things, you know, 15, 20 years ago about race jokes, it would be preposterous to him, right? Like, we know that. And it's not exactly the same. It's not. I'm not trying to equate the experiences. I'm just saying, like, to me, it's disappointing that he isn't willing to give a different community, like, there's enough space, so to speak, in the world to give all these communities space. Trans equality and rights doesn't have to be in conflict with black or Latinx or what anyone else's rights.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
there's no natural conflict.
No. You know, and it's like, honestly, it's like, you know, the team turf bit part of the bit is, I think, getting the most sort of kind of run. And that's just flat out wrong. Like the point of like, well, we all pass through a woman's legs to get to Earth. You're not talking about sex. You're talking about gender. And for him to like to understand that, you know, talking about other constructs, you know what I mean? And not understand that sex isn't a construct, but gender is like, I don't know. He's too smart. He's too smart for this. And he's way too funny and too skilled as a comedian to be coming in here as like comic Barry Weiss. Like, I just don't. I don't
it's know. Weird.
It's a waste of all our times. You know
Agreed.
What I mean?
And so I think we're done with that. What about the other Netflix sensation?
Squid Game. Yeah. I'm not here to bury Squid Game at all. Like, I'm kind of enjoying it. I'm a little bit mystified as to why it's a worldwide phenomenon. Are you loving it? What am I missing here?
To say I was loving it, okay. Because of my new work schedule, like, I don't get to watch anything with my wife during the week anymore, so I have to do a lot of this stuff on my own, and she asks me, like, is it worth watching? She's not quite as compelled by insane violence as I can be, and so I told her probably not, because I can't tell you that this show is like great. I am oddly compelled by it. I have watched 6.5. I was watching it as I waited for you to try to find a recording location today, because
gotcha.
You know, I want to get through more of it, partially because I'm like, it is, I don't know what's going to happen. It's legitimately wild enough. How far have you gotten?
I'm 3 in.
Okay, so I'm going to spoil a little bit of a thing for you, if you don't mind.
Okay.
And this is a mild spoiler. They may have already mentioned it. I'm just not sure. Have they mentioned, like, the existence of a so-called VIP or a group of VIP yet?
No, I have not gotten a VIP.
Well, like, as you might imagine, there are people who are watching this for entertainment, right? That's all I'm going to give you. Like,
Gotcha.
That's a component of what's happening here, among many... many other things. It's a complicated situation, for God's sakes. And as we know, there's 456 people involved in the actual Squid Game, so to speak. And look, it's not super original from a film and TV standpoint. Like, The Running Man is the first thing I can think of that is in this vein of, like, people competing in stupid games to the death for the entertainment
Hunger
of others.
Hunger Games is obvious.
Exactly.
As well.
Yeah. Exactly. But this is much less of a survival game in the, like, survivalism sense than Hunger Games, right? This is just dumb shit that costs you your life.
Yeah, except people died, right? Yeah.
Like, this isn't even...
And it's poor, like, people die, right? Like, it's financially strapped people die.
Well, that's also part of the... There's obviously, yes, there's obviously the implications, right? And that is exaggerated by the obviously super rich people who seem to be behind it, right? Because even if you don't...
Yes.
Even if you haven't met anybody... This whole operation is clearly, like, the work of a billionaire, right? I mean, like, there's no other a billionaire or 20, who knows? But, like,
well, it would
thing...
clearly take a lot of money to pull this off, even from where I'm at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
You definitely get that. I mean, they're offering a lot of money. It seems like they're investing a lot of money in making it happen and keeping it secret.
Right. It's insane. Like, you know where they are by now, right? So it's, like, not... Anyway, a lot of stuff is going to happen, man. And it's insanely violent on every level. And they like, every time you're watching and you're like, oh, they're not going to go there, are they? They're going to go there, you know?
Yeah.
So on that level, like, that, it's kind of compelling. And to me, the mystery of the whole thing, and like, I hope I'm getting closer to the end now. I hope we're going to get some answers. I may finish it today because I got a pretty free day up until the big game tonight. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later, although it'll be over by the time most people hear this. I can't say it's great, but I am enjoying this. And if like, imagine, you know, Running Man, Hunger Games style competition with like classist implications and in Korean. And did you watch it dubbed or subtitles?
I was going to ask you about this. So I went with subtitles. It was very much like Lupin for me.
Right.
Where I was like, I don't think I can handle this dubbed.
No.
But when you go with subtitles, right, it really does require a significant degree of attention. Right? Like, yep. You can't do any second screening.
Nope.
You can't go to the bathroom. You can't, you know what I mean? Like, and so I think that has slowed me down some. Like, I'm having trouble. Like, I've heard so many stories of, like, I watch it in a day or I watch it in a weekend. And I'm, like, a little bit like, why?
Yeah.
It is compelling, but I still am not, I'm just not convinced it's good yet. I don't think it's bad. I'm probably going to finish it at some point, but it's hard for me to understand. Like, I just can't think, I couldn't think of a reason to recommend this to anybody, which is kind of where you started with, unless I suppose you're just really into ultraviolence. It's visually very interesting. I think,
yeah.
Like, the costumes and stuff. I get why sales of white vans have skyrocketed.
It's well made, and there's certainly more to it thematically than just the ultraviolence, but I'm not sure it's like making any brilliant statements or, you know, achieving any great artistic anything.
I have some concerns that this is the future of Netflix, though. You know what I mean?
Like foreign
language.
That it's
going to be these kind of like
psychodramas?
Not so much foreign language, but yes, international properties, like global properties, I will say. Pulpy, bingy, with not a ton of regard for how great it is. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But visually flashy, you know. Netflix is clearly, they clearly seem to be moving away from prestige. And that, you know,
maybe,
that's been happening for some time now.
But that doesn't mean that stuff doesn't still get mixed in, you know. We'll see. It's not, look, if everything's prestige, it's not prestige anymore, right? So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But a lot of the prestige-y things we like on Netflix in terms of series are, like, kind of coming to an end. You know what I mean? If they haven't ended already, so, so we'll see. You know that we got ourselves all in a tether because the Netflix Twitter account announced the new Fincher project, and I think there was some hope that it was going to be a surprise season of Mindhunter, and it was not.
No,
so,
no,
not sure that is ever coming. So, you know, it is what it is. Should we talk about the challenge?
I think we should, yes. I really think we should. I have so many notes.
It's a big time episode. Big time episode of the challenge.
Where do you want to start?
I feel like we should. I think we kind of need to start with the new big TJ twist, right? The new setup of the game.
Is that the big TJ twist? Because to me, there were two bigger twists than the big twist, which I thought was a hilarious part of the. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but like the twist that they set up, right, which I think is what you're talking about, is it's not pairs anymore. And in fact, you know, we assumed it was just an individual game. Most of the players assumed it was an individual game. No, it is now a three-team game. So I think that is a twist. Like, they legitimately got me, right? I even thought to myself...
I agree. When I said TJ's twist, I meant all of that in combo. But yes,
right.
Yes.
But I legitimately thought, oh, man. Like, towards the last minute, as they were setting up for the, like, race to decide the next part of the game or whatever, I was like, oh, what if it's two big teams? But I never thought three big teams. Never even occurred to me.
I don't think they've done three teams before, have they?
I think maybe way back in the day there were some three teamers.
Yeah. I enjoy on this show when they let them group themselves into teams.
Yeah.
In any way.
Well, but also, you know, it's interesting, you know, they obviously did not realize they were grouping themselves into teams for the remainder of, or for like a long term stretch when they were doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and certainly the first couple of people didn't, you know what I
right.
mean? So, I also thought it was great. Like, I think it was actually like Corey and Nelson had that moment where I think that they were really, that showed some growth on both of their parts where they were strategic about let's split up and we can look out for each other on separate teams. I thought that was really smart, and it totally wound up burning Corey because he got a shit team. But he could have known that then, right? Because they were like the first two, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So listen, there's this sort of, here are the teams. The Emerald team, which won this challenge, Casey, Nani, Tori, Emmanuel, Devin, and Josh. The Sapphire team, Ed, Nelson, CT, Amanda, Ashley, Bettina, and Team Ruby, which is Kyle, Corey, Logan, Emmy, Big T, and used to be Priscilla, but she gone. I thought they were talking about this as if it was Emerald team and then everybody else, but to me, it looks like Sapphire is as good as Emerald, basically, on any given day.
Yeah, it's essentially Ruby team and everybody else, but
yes.
In a bad way.
In a bad way, exactly. And,
yeah.
You know, look, I actually think, boy, is Logan going to make it? Like, it was small, but that thing with his leg, like, he made it sound like he tore an ACL or something.
Yeah, I agree. I also thought it was really smart of Logan to only be talking about in the ITMs and not let on to anybody at all that he might be hurt, right? Like, none of the other contestants even said anything about it. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think he maybe just got lucky that it was a girls' elimination day.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably yeah. did anyway, because if you look at those names, like, I think... Look, rookies always go first, right? And it's Emmanuel, Logan, and Nelson, or and Ed, rather. And if you're, like, now that everyone knows, they get to choose their
opponent.
But
I don't think everyone does know. Oh, that they can choose, yeah, yeah.
And so that's what I was going to say next, is to me, the bigger twists were pick your own opponent, and then you can infiltrate the agency. And I don't think we even necessarily know if you infiltrate the agency, do you steal someone's spot? Then do they get to choose? Do they have to go to the team you used to be on? Because if that's the case,
I kind of think that that's what it is. Yeah.
If it's that, then like that's Corey's chance to get off of Team Ruby, right?
Well, it's Corey's chance, but this is what because you were kind of like rookies go first. Like, I think that's over because more than Corey's chance, it's Kyle's chance. Like, Kyle is absolute. There's zero chance that Kyle is giving his all in the next mission. Like, he is trying to go down and get off that team. He just about
I don't
said
know.
As much from the platform
Do you think...
right there. The man wore an emerald shirt to the
I know, but here's what you think about, right? Here's what I think you have to think about. Like, what does it take for a man to truly want to go in to the elimination? He has to really believe that he's so screwed on Team Ruby. Like, what is the cost of being on Team Ruby other than being eligible for elimination every week? It's really nothing. And he's not going to be the first choice for a couple weeks yet. So.
Yeah, but the thing is right, like, you can pick your opponent.
Yeah.
So, this right. You can get out, you can get on a good team, you can get the matchup you want. The sooner you do it, the more choices you have, right, in terms of the matchup, and presumably the worst players will be left in the game. So, if, for example, that you find out that one player has a real hurt leg, you know what I mean, right? You're trying to get down and face that guy.
Yeah, so, you're right.
So, yeah, I mean, and there, you know, from the previews, there was already some throwing the mission conversation in the previews. So.
Okay, so, by the way, can I just say.
We're certainly headed down that road.
That preview was dark.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, my God. That preview was like the middle. It was, you know, like the Empire Strikes Back effect of, like, the middle part of the trilogy of films that just doesn't have a happy ending. That just, like, everything is awful. That's what that preview felt like.
Yeah. The music in that didn't help. It was like something out of, like, the, you know, House on Haunted Hill, like, trailer or something.
Yeah. And the action sold it, man. People were getting upset. There was talk about throwing missions, like you said. By the way, before we get too far off of the twists, that TJ is my MVP this week.
I very much wanted to talk about MVP next, so I'm kind of glad that you segued into this. I have a different MVP.
I'm sure you do. There are so many candidates.
And a sweeping statement.
Oh, wow.
I think there's only one candidate.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. But I wonder if it's who I think it is, and I have another TJ point related to another person I think could have been an MVP in this episode. So let's transition. Who's your MVP of the week?
I think that my MVP of the week was, I believe, also my MVP last week. I think that this person is having a Luka Doncic Trae Young style leap this season.
Oh, wow.
And I think they are running this game right now.
Wow.
And I think that person is Devin.
Yeah.
Devin is my MVP this week. I think that he won that game for the Emerald team. I think he has been, like, when you watched him in that meeting, in that deliberation, he has this game so on lockdown. He knows these players and, like, what they want to do, what their strengths and weaknesses are. I don't know how he's going to be in a final, but I am super impressed with the season that Devin is having. And people don't hate him anymore on top of all that. He got in shape. I'm so impressed with what Devin is doing right now.
He hasn't flipped out. He hasn't, like, flipped out and gone full dickhead on anybody.
Nope. He's my runaway MVP, and I think a huge part of why Team Emerald kicks so much ass, and why people want to be over there. Like, he is getting this game, and
well,
weirdly enough, like, him and Josh kind of, like, are a good team. Josh has come a long way this season too, I think, as well. Well, we've talked about that.
Well, when Josh isn't flipping out, he is quite strong and not bad at these games. Emmanuel is the best rookie, I would say, and he has two of the three, I would say, probably the top two women remaining in the game at this point, in Casey and Tori, you know, depending on how you feel about Ashley, I guess.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, that's a powerful team with his, you know, sort of leadership. I hate to say it, but, like, he is going to dictate their strategy for the most part, I think. Because Emmanuel's a rookie and just wants to listen, but seems to be great at everything. Josh is their friends now, somehow. And then he's got Casey and Tori. Like, that's huge. The other teams all have significant weaknesses, and Nani, while not the best, is not bad.
Nope. She's in a great spot because obviously Casey's gonna protect her.
I think that's a great choice for MVP. Let me name some other down the ballot candidates, I think.
Okay.
Priscilla just had a banger of, like, a three-episode stretch, man. And
yeah, great rookie season for her.
She was never going to win, but she realized that at a certain point, I think she helped herself by staying out of shit for a few weeks, right? And, you know, whatever, maybe it's a week of real time. But she hung back and didn't make herself a target early. And then she realized, rather than just stay back and get made a target because they ran out of other rookies, she was going to take her shot. And she won one elimination and lost another, but she made an impact. And I don't know if you caught this, but after the loss...
I was
loss,
just about to ask you. Yep. I definitely caught that.
TJ said, I am positive we will see you in the future, girl. He dropped a girl on her.
That is a strong goodbye from TJ as you're going to get.
Like, I think it is the strongest.
I feel like somebody like handed her the contract for next season on the way out.
100%. I think it is the strongest goodbye I have ever witnessed. And there have been some good ones.
Yeah.
But most of them are about people who, you know, when he says, I'm sure we'll see you in the future, that's almost always a vet that, like, you're sure we'll see you in the future, right? To drop a, I am positive.
Like
we will, I am, and he, like, emphasized it. That was huge, man. That said, I think Ashley has to be a candidate for the simple fact that, like, she whooped that ass.
She did, and I did also think, you know, I mean, look, the show took some great pains to point it out, but, like, all the vets, like, helping her out, you know, clearly meant a lot to her. Like, right. You know, good episode for
her. It was
her.
A big moment. It was, like, her end-of-movie moment, and I think she's going to be out of here soon.
It seemed like, man, I was worried for Priscilla and Bettina, because they opened with a lot of, like, home life stuff for them.
Yeah.
And then obviously Amanda, you know, and that was good. Nice story editing there, right? Because they really, all that Amanda stuff was a feint to set up the stakes for Ashley later on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is horrible. Okay. I recognize, and this is my problem, not hers, but with my experience with Amanda, it's just hard for me. To really look, all due respect to her in real life as a single mother, and I hope she's doing great. As a TV character, the Amanda, you know, conflicted mother with a heart of gold thing is tough for me.
Well, I am finding, and I don't know, maybe this is equally callous in a slightly different way. The Amanda's a nurse and a single mom is this season's Corey's kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
Like it's great, and kudos to you. Front lines of the pandemic is like, that is, it's a real thing. You know, all, you know, plus one, but I get it. Like, how many times you can tell me?
Right, and also, I don't know that this is the place to celebrate it. You know what I mean? You could even make a special section of the reunion to be like, by the way, in real life, this chick is a literal frontline nurse, and, like, hurrah. Huzzah to her. And I say that sincerely. But, yeah, it's like, I feel like it should be separate from the TV show.
Yeah. Also, the kid's adorable. Of course
the kid's adorable. Of course the kid is adorable. There's no question about that.
But it's a tough time, man.
I get it. It's a tough time to be away from your kid. Like, they change so much so quickly when they're that little.
Yeah, yeah. And undoubtedly the appearance fee played a big part of it, which is funny because they can't ever talk about that part of it.
Right. Like, that's the thing. I think they always have to play that scene for, like, I'm here just in case I win the $1 million. But really, it's I'm here because I am a paid television actor, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure they want to win the $1 million. I'm sure that would really help.
They're not – the stakes – And those are high stakes, but, like, they're not as high as they're sort of suggested to be.
Yeah. Yes.
It's not all or nothing for everyone. That's not what's actually happening.
Yeah. And you want to talk about Burn of the Week real quick?
I went, okay, so, like, here's the thing. This episode was so big, and there was a lot of strategy talked, and there was a lot of, like, you know, honest assessments of people's games that I guess you could interpret as burns. But I decided to write down the I tried to think what's the opposite of a burn. So I went with the aloe of the week. It's the aloe of the week.
Okay.
I wrote down the whole paragraph of it. Okay. Here's what CT had to say. How can you not love Emmy? She is as pure and raw as it comes. She wears her heart on her sleeve. She's about as honest as they come. Girl's got a lot of heart. And he just had this Uncle CT look on his face in the ITM when he said it. It seriously reminded me of like Roy Kent and his niece on Ted Lasso. You know?
Yeah. Like, you got a lot of heart is like, that's kind of like the highest praise from CT.
It 100% is. Like, he said she wears her heart on her sleeve and she's got a lot of heart in the same, like, two sentences. It was beautiful. And it was too beautiful for me not to honor and to eschew the burn of the week in favor of the aloe of the week from CT to Emmy, because I feel the same way about Emmy. And all that said, if you insist on
I
burn,
was I was really heartened by the way Emmanuel protected her. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yep.
like very skillfully, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like it was pretty subtle in the conversation.
And
you know
look,
what I mean?
Nobody so. I don't think anybody is excited to hammer her, right? I think that's part of it too. Like, she's adorable.
Yeah.
She does wear her heart on her sleeve, and she does have a lot of heart, and I love her too. And if you want to burn, it was when Ashley said obviously no on the Ruby team when she was asked where she wanted to go. Like,
yeah,
TJ was like,
great.
You can choose any team on the platform. And she was like, well, obviously I'm not going to the Ruby team, but let me think about the actual decision.
I have an honorable mention, accidental self-burn for Priscilla. When she said, it's about to be open season on my ass.
Yeah. yeah.
It's like, can we rephrase that?
Yeah. Phrasing. Yep.
But my burn of the week, was definitely Kyle, saying that the Emerald Squad only weakness is if you say something mean to Josh and he cries for half an hour.
That was really good. That was really good. yeah. Which brings me to my next question.
Another Kyle classic.
Let's say you're Kyle or Corey, okay? And you beat Logan's ass in the elimination. Whose spot are you taking?
Ooh.
Like, at now, I don't even know if they can go against Logan. It could be Nelson or whoever would go against Logan. But what, like, I think you could try to take Emmanuel's spot, and then, you know, it's a rookie at the end of the day. Who are you really going to piss off besides Emmanuel and maybe Emmy?
Yeah, that's definitely the path of least resistance.
Yeah, right? If you take Josh's spot, you're creating a potentially explosive situation. And you're also taking a really strong player off the team. If you take Devin's spot, you're kind of, as you said, destroying a certain strategic advantage you may have.
Yes. The trailer at the end suggested, though, that may be what's happening, right? It seemed like there was some real Kyle-Devin conflict coming up. Not to mention some Kyle-Nelson conflict coming up.
It may just be that Kyle is flailing around the house because he's about to go into elimination. So it's hard to say what's happening there.
It is. Yeah. I mean, to me, if you're asking me what I would do, Emmanuel's the easy choice, right? So if you want to get on that team, that's the path of least resistance. And it still leaves the team strong, right? So
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. On the other hand, like, I think also part of this is it just, do you have to pick someone on the other losing team? Can you go into elimination against someone on your own team?
Yeah, I mean, we don't fully know. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you can pick anybody, right? You can pick anybody except the agency is what TJ said.
That's what it seems so. Like. So I guess what happens if Kyle or Corey go in against Logan? That team's going to be down to four people, no matter who it is, right?
Yeah.
There are a lot of questions unanswered here, and I think if the Emerald team does win again, just in a sheer numbers perspective, like, they have a chance to grab a hold and lock down this game in a way that could be kind of insane.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we still haven't really gotten into are the kind of natural alliances that were already present in this game, are they going to continue to hold with people potentially being on separate teams?
Yeah. I mean, right. How much, like, I think we both thought it was a relatively smart strategy for Corey and Nelson to sort of try to captain two different teams. But is that actually going to work?
Yeah. I don't know. And then, cause sort of what it did, right, is that the Emerald team is really, it's kind of mostly just the Big Brother alliance, right? You got Casey and Nani, you're definitely in an alliance together.
Yeah.
Devin and Josh have been working together, right? That's basically what you have. Right, and then the other sides are spread out in a different way. So, I wonder if the producers went to three teams because they, you know, last week the game was kind of breaking down into three groups of vets anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, but this isn't really divided up by those groups of vets so well, is it?
No, it is not.
So I don't know. I'll tell you what I'll say again. I'm not so sure the Emerald team will win, right? So if the Sapphire team wins and, you know, does Emmanuel end up going against Logan? Or is it a vet trying to change teams? Because if you can't, what if you can't pick someone on your own team, right?
Yeah. I think Corey, or Tori, rather, explanation, you know, of like, hey, we don't know how this game is going, you know, exactly what the rules are of this game are going. It's not time to take a shot.
Right.
I think that people are going to feel comfortable enough to take a shot next week. And if not next week, then certainly the week after that. So I think the assumption that just rookies are going to get targeted, I don't know. I think this may be the point of the game where people start trying to leave some rookies. You know, like, I think Bettina's in a weirdly good spot. Like, I think the "you want me in that final" is now more compelling.
Right.
You know
but
what
how,
I mean?
I think it's compelling in the room, but how compelling is it once you get down in the pit
and you can
TJ
pick your own
says,
opponent.
Pick your
yeah.
opponent.
Yeah, you're right, actually. So maybe she's not in a good spot.
I don't think, and like, certainly Logan with the injury, but even without the injury, I think he's the obvious first target. Ed is just a bigger, stronger guy, right? And then Big T.
I would not mess with Ed, man.
No, that's what I'm saying. So I think Logan's the obvious first target. Emmanuel is a vampire. And on the girls' side, like, I think Bettina and Big T are the first two I would think of, and then probably Emmy after that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's gonna be interesting. Can we talk real quick about the Logan Big T breakup?
Because
I'm somewhat confused by it.
Heartbreaking.
I
don't know what happened to Logan. Like, he went from "this is great" to, like, "I do not want a serious relationship with the Big T," very quickly.
Yeah. He went full model. And not only did he do that quickly, he's like, "I explained to Big T that if we are going to spend time together, we are going to be as friends." But, like, as you're watching this, he's clearly leaving her bed in the nude. So how did that talk go? That part confused me very much. And then, like, the next scene is, like, Big T, like, yeah, I got the message. You know, he doesn't want to continue, and I'm sad about it. But, like, he was buck-ass naked. I don't know. It really threw me for a loop.
Yep, weird deal. Also, weird deal, they were lying in bed before all the bad stuff went down, and she was telling him the story of Oedipus. Weird foreplay.
Yeah, that was
guys.
Also weird.
Weird foreplay.
That was also very weird, and Big T is usually so, like she awkward is not her thing, you know what I mean? Like, she's pretty smooth, generally, so that was very weird.
Weird stuff. Really weird stuff.
The and shout outs to the producers or editors or whoever it was that, like, did the little heart montage, and then, like, the, you know, like, the takeaway of the heart after they, like, broke up. It was like, it was, some of those are really good.
Yep. Really good stuff. A couple other things I have notes on. CT sort of had the last line of the show, and he was like, just when you think you know what's happening, TJ comes in and flips the house upside down. And I got to tell you, love CT. We've both discussed we think he's the clear favorite, even if we think Devin is currently sort of controlling the game. CT must know that this flipping of the house has made him even safer. Right?
Yeah.
He knows that. Nothing is flipped upside down for him. He has basically punched his ticket to the final. Nobody, and I mean nobody, maybe Fessy would have done it, but nobody who is in this house right now is hitting the floor of the elimination and saying, gimme CT. Nobody.
Right. And then, and therefore, nobody throwing CT in.
Because he'll get to pick them. Not a freaking chance. Corey is more likely to throw Nelson down there than to throw CT down there. That's how dramatic this is right now.
Yeah. Although, I guess, right, if you're in the agency, he can't pick you. Right? So I guess you could just be like, let's just throw CT down there and see who he gets rid of. You know what I mean? Right?
Yeah, but I don't think...
I guess you could do that.
I don't think Corey... Or Nelson. Well, I guess Nelson's on CT's team. But boy, to do... I don't think the Emerald team is going to do it.
No, I don't think so either. I would consider that. I would consider going directly to him and saying...
The Ruby team might do it. Like, Kyle and Corey might do that.
Yeah.
But
I could see just going like, hey, man, we're going to vote you in. It's nothing, like, we think you're coming back, so that's why we're telling you. Just go get rid of somebody.
I don't know if do you think Devin will do that? I don't think Devin will do that.
I don't think that would happen. I'm just saying that's what I might do in that situation.
You know what, Devin, but here I think would be the angle, right? Is if you could sell him on switching to your team is the best option. So, like, and it would have to be now, right? Devin could go to him right now. If Emerald wins again, Devin could go to him and say, listen, man, if I send you down, you can beat Logan's sorry ass and then take Emmanuel's spot.
Yeah, I would make that play. I don't think that they'll do that, though.
It's risky because you really don't know what CT's going to do. And no matter what, like, you don't want him mad at you in this game right now.
Right. You go to him. That's why you go to him. Because if he's like, nah, man, don't, you know, I'll be pissed, then you can go, all right, fine. And move on, right?
You know what I mean? I think so.
Right. So you want, but you're right. He's in an amazing spot because everyone's scared of him in elimination. So he's just going to go to the final, which is where you should really be scared of him.
Yep. Nobody wants that. And all you need to do is watch the way these sad bastards, like, flagellated themselves when they were trying to recruit him to their team. Every single...
It's like Corey said. No, he's the number one draft pick, man.
He's it.
Like, that's it.
Every single person in the game was like, CT, over here. We need you on this team. Come here, buddy. Come on, CT. It was hilarious.
Yeah. Look, if he had picked Ruby, Ruby would not be losers. You know what I mean?
That's right. Couple other things. When Priscilla said Ashley. Emmy. Emmy just goes, Priscilla has balls.
That was great.
Then they cut to the ITM of Casey, and she goes, I got goosies. And she said goosies like 3 times talking about goosebumps. It was hilarious.
Yep. And like pointing at her arm.
Yeah. I got goosies, you guys. Goosies. I was like, nobody ever said that before. What are you talking about, goosies? Amazing. Like,
you know, it's one of those things where I've never heard anyone say that in my life, but I knew exactly what she was talking about.
Yeah.
So, good friends. There's no doubt. Like, I think a lot of respect from a lot of people in the last couple of weeks. You know what I mean? Even if they ultimately resulted in her going, like, she played win, you know? Good for her.
Yeah, we lost a lot of that.
Good season for rookies on the whole.
Yeah, I think so. We lost a lot of that in a sort of cell phone garbled mess, but I gather that you were saying that it was a good year for Priscilla. She got a lot of respect from veterans, and I think, honestly, all the rookies that are left, okay, so Emmy, Emmanuel, Bettina, Ed, and Logan, they've all earned a pretty good amount of respect, some more than others, but they've all earned a lot of respect, and I think, honestly, there were rookies who left in the first 3 weeks, like Kells or, you know, certainly Jeremiah last week, like who also earned respect. They put a lot of rookies
Esther
in.
Esther, too.
Esther, yep. You know, put a lot of rookies in, and I think they got a lot of rookies who sort of hit at a level where you'd like to see them back.
I think this is going to be like a fresh meat kind of season in terms of its impact on future games.
Yeah. Yeah, I buy that. I mean, that's, you know, Cara Maria probably the highlight of the fresh meat group, but there's a lot of players that came from that.
Yeah, you know, a few of whom are no longer allowed to be associated with the game, but got a lot of seasons out of those guys. So,
did they come in on fresh meat? Yeah, I guess they did.
I'm pretty sure Kenny and Evan and that whole crew came in on fresh meat. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Yep. So, a lot of seasons from those dudes. And I saw them. They were someone. Was it Johnny Bananas was hanging out with Kenny? I don't know.
Have you listened to the Johnny Bananas podcast at all? I need to start diving into that one too.
I have not. I only have so much time in a day.
I know, man. And there's all these sports. All right, real quick, in case you want to transition into that, we should also mention, you probably saw the previews on the show, there's a new season of All-Stars coming.
Hey, now.
In November. And my biggest excitement about this is less about the season in the whole than it feels like we are headed towards a world where there's very little challenge offseason, that we can just kind of go from challenge to All-Stars back to new seasons of the challenge again, and I'm absolutely here for it.
Correct. As far as this actual group goes, right, you know, you said, I don't know about the cast, and I know why you said that, right? There are a lot of people that I'm like, who is that again, or just don't care about in general.
Yeah.
But here's some people that I don't think we've seen on the first season of All-Stars that I'm kind of interested in. MJ was a pretty heavy hitter way back in the day. Melinda, who was Danny's wife at one point, is an interesting return. She's not like one of the greatest.
That's who that is.
Yeah. Jody. Jody was great. That's an interesting return. I don't believe she was there. We did see Tech and John A, but look, John A put together a hell of a season, right? Did you see Brad's beard?
I did see Brad's beard. I mean, you know, Brad is a returning contestant, but I'm super excited for Brad's beard.
Like, Brad's beard is a new contestant, if you catch my drift, right? Tyler.
Tremendous beard.
Tyler is an entertaining guy. Kendall was interesting last season. There's a guy who I don't recognize after that, and a girl who I don't recognize. Tina!
Yes, Tina. I said Teresa, but Tina was the one that I was excited for.
Okay. Tina was not there.
And her teaming up with Katie, I think, will be great.
Yes. And what about Kahuta, man? You can't sleep on Kahuta.
I did sleep on Kahuta, but you're right. I probably shouldn't have.
Ryan wasn't there last season, was he?
No.
So that's another interesting one. Like, oh, and Jasmine, who's crazy as all get out, and I don't believe we've seen in quite a while. So there's, you know, there's potential for high entertainment here, I guess is what I would say.
Yeah. Look, it's going to be great. It's the challenge, you know, and it's people who've been on the show and they know what's up. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to, you know, it's going to be great. I'm not down on any of it.
So that should be fun. And look, we'll talk about that in November when it starts happening. All right. We ready for homework?
I believe we are.
All right. I'm going to read off the homework because we are starting to lose Derek Madden in the haze of cell phone reception. First things first, Succession returns on HBO. We, of course, will be watching The Return. And we'll watch every episode of Succession this season. I don't know. Maybe we should try to check in on that every week or two, because I'm excited. I have a high level of excitement.
Yes. Should we talk about there are a couple of couple of shows wrapped up this week. Like, do we want to get into Ted Lasso this season at all, or any of that stuff?
I have not finished Ted Lasso yet. So we'll have to wait.
Fair enough. I don't know how you've done that.
Yeah, man. I just gotta wait for the wife on some stuff. It's tough. I live a very difficult life. I balance a lot of watching of sports and television. Speaking of which, the NBA season starts and lots of fun sports to talk about. Baseball playoffs. It's quite possible the team I cover and the team you love will be playing each other. We may get into that. But also on television. On Apple TV Plus, there is a documentary about the Velvet Underground. We're going to check that out. It's by Todd Hayes, I believe, is the name.
Hayes, I believe it is. That's with an N.
What I say. Yeah. Todd Haynes Hayes is the name.
Yes.
And on Paramount Plus, Queen Pins. If you haven't heard of it, look it up, because it's going to star people you want to watch. And it's kind of weird how under the radar it's been, but we're going to see if it's any good.
We hadn't heard of him either, but we're like, look at all these people. Let's watch it.
Exactly. All right. Before we lose Derek entirely, I'm going to wrap it. Any last words?
Bye.
Bye.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling. And the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor. Have yourself a tremendous evening.